Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking, and thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about life without principle and why it will never work, as well as life with principle. In this show, we will discuss some of the reactions when one learns that what we call life isn't life at all. Listen as we explain the meaning of the term enlightenment and what that must look like when we're doing it. In this show, we will discuss some of the benefits of having more faith in spirit than matter. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Swami, today's title of the show is Leaving the Shadow of Truth. So first of all, let's talk about what does the word shadow mean in this model?
Yeah, here we're talking about the shadow of the truth, which is the false sense of reality, which is actually called this world. It's the reflection of the truth, but there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in it. And the major problem is when we mistake the shadow for the truth, what the Yoga Sutras call avidya, which is when we're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent.
So let's talk more about a shadow. We know what a shadow is in our real world. I'll put it that way for right now. You know, when the sun casts upon us, it creates a shadow. So the shadow isn't really even a good representation of what we really look like. Like sometimes a shadow will be long, it'll be short, it'll be, you know, however, depending on the angle of the sun. So this world that we're in right now, you're saying, is the shadow.
Right. And in order to have a shadow, you're going to need light and you're going to need an obstruction to that light. And that's why in this show, we're going to talk about the term enlightenment, which is the experience that we have when the obstruction to light is removed. And to try and bring this to an experiential level, any desire to achieve an tangible objective must be consciously transcended from the shadow to the light, bringing a desire for perfection, satisfaction, and success, requiring a daily practice in all things, watch and wait, but not from the perspective of a physical being struggling to fix or manipulate the material shadow, but from the light of the highest understanding of the perfect, ever satisfying, and always successful spiritual truth that must therefore cast a corresponding shadow.
So when you're talking about the obstruction to light and that needs to be removed, how is that pertaining to the world that we see?
Well, the world that we see is really our thought about what's really here. And then our thought really becomes the obstruction. And that's why in our previous show, we talked about coming out of the modes of mortal thinking. Mortal thought is a divided consciousness. It is a fractured perspective of what is really here. And that's what casts the shadow, which really is the appearance.
And so when you said that the desire to achieve a tangible objective must be consciously transcended from the shadow, are you talking about any objective that we have in this world?
Yeah, we're talking about personal sense. We're talking about when you're looking at things on a personal level. You're working with your mortal modes of thought, your ability to form thoughts and opinions based on appearances. And so once we start to understand just how creation is taking place, the truth of being, the divine creation, is complete. It's fulfilled. But then there's this secondary creation, which is experienced on the human mental level, which is our thought about this divine creation. And that's where all of our problems begin, because it creates the obstruction that then creates the shadow.
Well, you had also said that if we want this desire for perfection, satisfaction, success, it's going to require a daily practice. Well, what would that look like if we were doing it?
Yeah, we want to make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. We want to make our mind aware for the presence of this divine creation, which is whole, it's complete, and it doesn't report in our five senses. Most of that practice is just watching and waiting. Because in the framework of identifying with this spiritual truth of reality, we begin to communicate with it. We develop spiritual sense. And the way that I've started to work with that is working the relationship between what is appearing in my five senses and what it is that I'm holding in my consciousness, and how what I'm holding in my consciousness affects what is appearing in my senses.
So when you're talking about the mind, I know you have talked to us before about the human mind, the corporeal mind, and the mortal mind. Can we delve a bit further with that? Now, is the mortal mind what you would call the shadow?
Yeah, the shadow is mortal mind, mortal thought. And the three modes of mortal thought are: the lowest level is the lower mind, which we experience as belief in matter. We think we have a physical body and we think we have needs, and we react to that. So instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. And then your mid-mind is human intelligence, where we're using our mental functions to form thoughts and opinions and concepts and theories. And then the higher mind is the collective consciousness. It's the world mind or the cosmic mind. These are the three modes that we really have to come out of that create this shadow, which prevents us from seeing the truth, which is divine mind and the divine creation.
So I'd like to talk more about the shadow of the truth. You had said earlier the major problems when we mistake the shadow for the truth. Well, what would that look like if we were doing it?
Well, what that looks like is when we believe in matter. We believe that we are a mortal creature. We are accepting our mortality. And in doing that, we are in violation of spiritual law. See, spirit can only function if we are conscious of it. And if we have a belief in matter, our attention is originating from this shadow of truth as opposed to the truth of being, then we're externalizing this finite mortal experience. Whereas if we can pierce through the veil, and we can see the truth of being, and we sow to the spirit. When spirit is cause, then creation is perfect.
So matter would be anything that we can look at. It could be sin, sickness, death, pandemics, accidents. All that is from this mortal world. And so if we believe in that, that's when we're mistaking the shadow for the truth.
Right. And we're in the trap. And whether we realize it or not, the only thing that is self-existent in this universe is spirit. And everything else really relies on belief to give it the appearance of power. So everything that is appearing in your five senses that you are reacting to and you are trying to change or add to or take away from, these are all what is creating its existence because you believe that it's there. Now, once we start to sow to the spirit, and we know that there is only one divine life in this entire universe, and that life is perfect, eternal, unchanging, and we hold fidelity to that, our attention on that will begin to activate it in our experience. That will change the external picture from the human finite imperfections to the divine perfection of being.
So that means that we'd have to look at ourselves differently. If I believe that I am a human, then that's what gives my body its power as opposed to my believing in my spiritual body.
Right. And I like the way it says it in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, which you must understand that this is a spiritual universe. And in order for this to start to come alive for us, we really have to know ourselves in the way that we are known by the divine creator, which is spirit. So by us giving up or putting off the old man, the material, corporeal sense of who we think we are, and accepting spiritual identity, then we start to raise our consciousness to a level that we can begin to communicate with this truth of being, with the divine creative principle.
So it's when we start tampering with the human body, when we start trying to fix things, that starts the breakdown?
Well, that's part of how it begins. I mean, first of all, the way I look at that now is the human body is a reflection. And so to tamper with your physical body would be like if you were to look at yourself in a mirror and you noticed that your face was dirty and you started to wash the mirror. And then you noticed the more you washed the mirror, it didn't have any effect on your face. And so that's kind of like the way that we go about it. If we believe in matter, then we're not really going to the origins of what is appearing in that reflection. By sowing to the spirit, it puts you more in the control panel. But like I say, when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. And if what is appearing in your senses has defect, lack, limitation, you're experiencing your thought about what potentially could be there. And by you continuing to tamper with it, whether mentally or physically, at the very best that you'll be able to do is change finite bad to finite good. But if you can get out of the way, and make your mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind, and you can let this light express itself through you, then that will start to appear as what is commonly referred to as a healing or a correction.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Like, you know what? I'm tired.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in the summary, we were going to learn that what we call life isn't life at all. So what is it that we mean by that?
Well, again, I think what we call life is this mortal existence, which really isn't the truth of our being, because we're eternal spiritual beings. And so by accepting this corporeal sense of being, we're kind of selling ourselves short as far as what it is that we're identifying with and what we're accepting.
So we had talked about before about living in the light means there is no shadow. In the same way, living in the truth dispels the false sense of existence. So we're talking about dispelling this false material sense of existence that you had mentioned earlier. My question is, if there is only one eternal life and it's perfect, then who am I?
Right. And that's something that we really have to work with. The first thing that you have to understand is that there is only one life, and it's eternal. It's perfect. And it's fulfilled. And it's right here, and it's right now. And we, the human, is a reflection of that one divine life. Now, I think it's also very important to understand at this point what is meant by reflection. Because what Mary Baker Eddy, I think, means when she says, man is God's reflection, she's talking about mind considering its own content. So we're basically a thought in this divine mind. And that's what you really want to start to work from, is the divine idea that you are the reflection of this indestructible principle. And by you identifying with yourself spiritually, you can start to lift your consciousness so you can find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea. If the formula is that how we think is what we become, and you're working with what we'll call a principle here, that this is a divine law, and it's a demonstrable principle, it's not something that you just want to talk about and believe in, but you really want to prove it. You want to start to demonstrate this divine law with scientific certainty. If you are the expression of an indestructible principle, and by making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of this divine mind, that you have a profound effect on appearances. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 167, where she says, "We apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it." That not only do we have to live above corporeal sense, but at the same time, we have to correct it. We want to exercise dominion over the appearance. That's why the benefit to shift from material beliefs and material values into spiritual truths, spiritual understanding, is an upgrade.
And this may be kind of a silly question, but corporeal sense means material, human.
Right. Anything that reports in your five senses. We think that sensation and animation and movement are the significators that something is alive. But in this model, you start to understand that spirit is the only self-existent power, and that is what is meant by life.
Well, you were talking earlier about this indestructible principle, and we were talking earlier today about the principles of mathematics. 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. It's never going to change. And then I was talking to you about, well, divine science works in the same way, like it's unchanging. Would that be true? Can we talk more about that?
Yeah, and it's a principle. It's a law. What it requires, though, is our recognition of it. In order for us to activate it in our experience, we must be conscious of it. And the more we can start to meet the world, meet the testimony of your senses with this divine idea as your backdrop, then it's easier to pierce through the finite, the provisional, the temporary, and start to adhere to the immortal, the infinite, the eternal, the unchanging. And as we start to live out from that, the formula always remains the same. How we think is what we become. But when you are no longer thinking with your human five-sense mind, and you are starting to let divine mind govern your body and direct you from within yourself, and you let it express itself through you, then you start to understand how it's working. And then this divine creation will reveal itself to you from within.
So you're saying that the laws of mathematics and divine science work independently of whatever size that we're talking about. So like 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8. But I want to talk about the divine science, how that works independent of size. So, and talk about it in a healing aspect. So are you saying that it doesn't matter if you're talking about a broken toe versus a broken leg? It's the same thing. The same principles apply. It should be instantaneous healing regardless of whatever it is that we are looking at to heal.
Well, in mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4. And if it's 2 trillion + 2 trillion, it's still going to equal 4 trillion. Even though you can't get your head around what a trillion is, we know that the principle works. And the same is true if you have a belief in this divine creation, that creation is held, controlled, and governed by this divine law, which is absolute love, absolute harmony, eternal life, and you believe in that, and you know that to be true, then to answer your question, what is appearing in your five senses is then revealed to you as your thought about it. And if there is lack, there's limitation, there is defect in that thought, then you can dispel that with this truth. In the same way that light dispels darkness, truth will dispel error. When you walk into a room and you turn on the light, there is no darkness. Now, what you want to understand about that is that darkness isn't an opposing power. There isn't any force out there that opposes the light. So when you leave the room and you shut the switch off, there isn't a black, inky mist that fills the room. All it is the absence of light. And so any lack, limitation, defect that is appearing in our senses is not a power. It is only the absence of the truth. And so by us having fidelity to the truth and activating it in our experience, then it will be revealed to us. But it isn't something that's going to fix a broken leg. It's not a power that you use on a personal level to fix matter. That the Christ message was that creation is perfect. And Jesus didn't come here to try and patch up God's handiwork. That basically what it was, he was revealing the truth that life is eternal, it's perfect, and it's here and it's now.
Well, I see we have a quote here from Herb Fitch that we wanted to talk about. Did you want to go over that quote with us now?
Yeah, this comes from Revelation of St. John, and it was Class 8B. There can be no evil where God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Evil is revealed as a nothingness, existing only in the finite mind which has no existence of its own. The hypnotist and the hypnotism are unmasked. We can face them without fear because they have no real existence when you are in the living will of the living Father. So here he's kind of telling us that if we are in spiritual identity, if we have found that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea, then it will reveal the truth to us, which is that creation is perfect. And that's what we've been working with. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Yeah, I like what he says, and that evil is revealed as nothingness, existing only in the finite mind, which doesn't have any existence of its own, so therefore it can't be real. That's how I take that.
Right, because the finite mind is the shadow of truth. It's the counterfeit. And it relies on belief for its existence.
So if we have the understanding that it's not real, it has no existence, then therefore we should be able to have no fear about anything that's going on in our with our five sense mind.
Right.
Is this what they call like allaying the fear? Is that what that means?
Well, you allay the fear, but it's not just trying to man up and cope with fear. What we're really talking about is by assuming spiritual identity, you now realize that you have no needs. It is the physical appearance that appears to have needs, that appears to be in danger, that's vulnerable. But when you assume spiritual identity, now you're in the truth of your being. You want to reject the testimony of your senses, but at the same time, it's very important to affirm the truth. You want to know the truth that will make you free.
Well, I think it's about time we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, please visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And on the homepage, you'll see a fading banner. When it shows up and says Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on and that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab, if you click that on, you go to online classes, that will direct you to Swami's free webinars. He does Wednesdays at noon, as well as the Asana class Sundays at 9 a.m. With that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and to experience the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.